This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Rex Huerman.
Otherwise, affectionately known as the Gilgo Beach Killer or the Long Island Serial Killer, allegedly. Lots of new information coming out. More so, I think, to scratch our itch of what the hell was going on in that house, because that's what we've been speculating on since he was arrested. Of course, his house, Massapequa Park in New York, looked kind of like a hoarder's house, to put it lightly. Kind of surprising for a guy that's somewhat a skilled and respected architect in New York City to be living in such a situation. It was kind of a little bit incongruent. But we also wondered, okay, if he's doing all these things and he has this weird basement that has all sorts of weaponry in it and allegedly child porn and all sorts of horrible things, a manifesto on how to kill people. What's going on there? What's going on with the wife, Asa? They've been married for decades. What about the kids? Did they know what was going on? And the new Peacock documentary that came out that was produced by G-Unit Productions, yes, G-Unit, 50 Cent, it dives into this, and it goes into great detail. We hear Asa in her own words. We hear the daughter. We hear the son. We hear a lot of people come out and discuss what life was like with Rex. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program. There's a lot to unpack here with Rex and what was known and what was not known. I'm going to start with Asa, because Asa is one that she filed for divorce early on. They did get the divorce. But what we learn in this documentary is that it was more so to protect assets than it was to get away from the man that most of us believe is a horrific serial killer. What's your thoughts on how that all worked out and where she's sitting today, still believing that this man is innocent and he was her hero earlier in life?
Yeah, we do not want to face anything that is incongruent with our self-image, do we? Mm-hmm. She is a great example that she's been groomed in this lifestyle with him. And it's been part of her life for so long, and he's been part of it. It's part of who she is. It's part of her validation of self. And to deny any of that would be obviously bone-crushing to her brain. It would break her brain, I think, to admit that he is actually potentially the killer, because she idolizes him. And what's interesting about this entire thing is that look who she's placing more important than anything else. Him, mm-hmm. above children, above everything. So it's he did a good job brainwashing her, there's no doubt.
And they had met when she was young, I believe 17, 18, somewhere around there. She had a very traumatic upbringing. She is a rape survivor. There was abuse. There was all sorts of things that she had gone through where she basically, she needed help. Either she was going to pull herself up by the bootstraps and get a life going for herself, or someone was going to come in and save her. In this case, Rex was the savior, and I say that in air quotes. Yes. Brought her in.
Oh, he came married. In. I don't know if he came saved in. Her, but yeah.
He came in. I mean, to her reality, the world, the trauma that she had been living in, he took her out of that. And allegedly, he didn't cause her more trauma. And maybe he did not. Maybe, it was a fairly plain Jane relationship and there really wasn't a whole lot going on involving her and this other life that he's allegedly led. And then all these years later, it seems that when she's on vacation is when he's out doing these things. There's a lot of weirdness here. One of the things that I found odd is the normalizing of rather bizarre behavior. One of them being, when we're on family vacations, he's out doing this. Well, why isn't he on the family vacation? That's not a family vacation. It's kind of bizarre when just mom is taking the kids on all the family vacations and dad is always back home and we don't know what the hell's going on. Now, certainly the dynamics of work and all that do play a factor into this. But that seemed to be what happened all of the time. There was this separation. There was places in the house that no one was allowed to go into. And that was just completely normal. It wasn't just this is off limits. It's dad's space. He doesn't like you in there. It was like, you don't go in there. There was a lot of normalizing weird behavior in this house. Yeah. Do you believe that?
100%. So he rescued her from an unhealthy life of trauma and then renormalized her into his life of secrecy and lack of transparency. Mm-hmm. And so that became her new normal, which was better than her old normal. So it, in her mind, it's a step up. He saved her. That's why he's a hero to her. But he normalized all these unhealthy behaviors of lack of transparency. Remember, I keep saying it repeatedly. Open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability are the three pillars of trust that I believe we all need if we're going to have healthy relationships. And that lack of transparency, secret places, times with unknown things going on, he normalized that at a very, very young age in their relationship, so it became part of the norm. And so when they have kids, that's also then part of the norm. It's just the way mom and dad do things. It's the way our family does things. It becomes part of the little insulated family normal. So doesn't surprise me at all.
Do people like this, you know, probably depends on the human, but someone like Rex Huerman, who essentially groomed Asa and the family to believe one thing one way. This is how it works, and this is how we're going to do things. Are they doing that on a conscious level? Is it, I better make them think this so I can get away with that? Or is it just who they are? They have to present things this way because this is just how they operate. It's not necessarily nefarious how a healthy individual have to sit down and go, how am I going to convince someone of this? An unhealthy individual would just naturally be able to do that because it's just, well, this is how life has always worked out for me. It's just, it's how my motor runs, if you will.
So I'm going to liken this to alcoholism, believe it or not.
Okay.
In the sense that what happens is with someone that's a deep-rooted severe alcoholic, their entire existence revolves around thinking about alcohol and how to hide that amount of drinking they're doing from everyone in their lives. Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily a conscious thought. It just becomes who they are of how to duck out of here, how to have a private stash here, how to have a behavior here that's hidden from over here. And so it becomes part of their entire existence about how to live a secret life within a life that's exposed to everyone. And so it's not necessarily a conscious thought. It's a habit of secrecy. It's a habit of betrayal of hiding themselves, even from themselves, but definitely from the world around them, so they can put up a false front, so they can look normal to the world around them and healthy to the world around them, as they have a subculture in their own mind that is, it's thoughtful, but at the same time, it's habit.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a big differential between a healthy person and a very broken person.
Yes.
It's just, yeah, the prism, the operational, it's a different operating system. If we're all operating on Windows 95, which I feel like most of us still are.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Still get the blue screen of death every now and then. And it's
blue
like
screen of death. Control alt to delete. Exactly. Just unplug the thing.
Like, let's reset. You know,
and think about it, everything I just said too is a total lack of transparency and openness, you know? And so I always, you know, with all the behavioral skills, tools, and techniques we talk about, and I train people all the time on, they always say, well, isn't that just manipulation? I said, the greatest counter to any sort of manipulation or even influence or persuasion where there's covertness involved is just be transparent. Mm-hmm. Transparency is the greatest mitigator for unhealthy behaviors. Because if you're unwilling to be transparent with your behavior, maybe you really should second guess the behavior you're having, because that will keep it from being unhealthy. Because once you start going down the unhealthy path and becomes part of your normal, mm-hmm. it becomes easier the next time, and then easier the next time. And then you get into a pattern of unhealthy behavior, and what you're now doing is you're normalizing that behavior to that environment. You're grooming your environment to your unhealthy behavior. Mm-hmm. If you just started with transparency at the beginning, you avoid it at all. You avoid it entirely. I know I'm pie in the sky, Robin, very optimistic, rose-colored glasses, but hey, I got reps doing this shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way it works.
No, it very much is. And Rex operated a certain way. I think one of the most shocking parts about the Rex Huerman case, the Gilgo Beach killer list, whatever you want to call it, is when we're talking about baseline of a human being, you know, a lot of it just go to ourselves. So how would I think about this? It's just kind of our natural reaction. And you got to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. We're talking about Rex Huerman and his baseline. What kind of a baseline is it for somebody who completes the documents the way that he did, the documentation in his basement, his kind of manifesto or to-do list, if you will? It went into such great detail about what he needed to do. And just weird, like, little reminders for himself. And the fact that someone is capable of writing this stuff down and then going back to life and going to work as the architect and going out to Applebee's with the family or whatever the hell he was doing. These are some of the things that were on his planning list. Get sleep before hunt. Have story set. Check issues to avoid detection. His inventory, cutting tools, acid, hair nets, tarps, heavy rope. Things to remember. Hit harder. Consider a hit to the face or a neck for takedown. Post-murder body preparation. Remove head and hands. Remove trace DNA and remove ID marks like tattoos. It goes on and on. And he's just typing this down in Word. And he had this list for like 20 years. What is going on with this human being that they can do this and go, yep, this is my to-do list. And then, like I said, go back and live normal life. That's a weird baseline of life right there.
It's actually not surprising to me, yep, because this is what stalkers will do as well. Mm-hmm. They actually keep detailed notes on what they're doing, because this is part of his, to me, this is part of his fantasy. It's not just how he positioned bodies. What serial killers do is they live out these fantasies. They position bodies. They keep trophies. They do certain things to live out the fantasy in their mind again. And so part of his fantasization is actually his note taking. So he can think about this. So a lot of these bodies, if he's actually the murderer, whoever did it, were positioned and put in places that he can think about them and maybe even drive by or see them, but not frequently. And so if you're trying to relive those moments and try to get that same rush that you had in those moments and thinking about those bodies and what he did to them, one way he's going to do that is be able to look at his notes and remember it and reminisce about it and think about it. And also, he's a detail-oriented guy. He's got life reps of doing this, and so he's probably perfected his craft. He wants to get better each time. You know, he's an architect, which is an engineering type of thing, and so they're detail and process-oriented people. So he's very likely a very process, detail-oriented individual. So he actually took a lot of notes on it. You know, it still hasn't gone to trial yet, but it just reminds me of the Koberger case as well. Here's a detailed school guy just taking a lot of notes, doing a lot of research and doing all these things to execute a plan. And so Huerman doing something similar like this too. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all, especially since we see he's got a household of trophies. He's a hoarder. He collects shit so he can look at it. Yeah. You know, the same thing. Why do you write things down? So you can reminisce and look at it again and improve upon it. And just, I mean, can you imagine? So again, we put our reverse context on. So here I am. I'm a psychopath and I want to kill people for a living because it makes me feel good and I get the adrenaline rush I want from it. One way I can sit around in my I love me room of guns and body parts is to look at my notes I took to do it every time. Oh, what a great time that was. See what I mean? It kind of fits that whole behavior pattern of his life of just nutso. It's my scientific nutso term. Nutso.
The very scientific word of nutso.
Yeah, Robin the behaviorist. Yeah, yes, he's nuts.
It's what the hell is going through his mind when he's doing that, though, when he's sitting down in his little den and lair.
Oh, he's having a good time. He's having a great time planning this out. He's like, oh man, think about it. So again, I don't think these are like spur of the moment vacations. His wife says, Asa says, hey, you know, we haven't had a vacation in mind in a while. You mind if I take the kids? He's probably saying, hey, I saved us some money. You guys really deserve a vacation. So I'm planning this whole thing out for you. A great thing. And so in his mind, he's got part of his excitement is planning a vacation for his family, because part of that planning process is this planning process. He's a planner. And so he's just sitting around slowly, methodically, taking his notes. I plan them to get out on here. On this date, I'm going to do this. I mean, he's probably going slow and reveling in every moment of this entire planning process. And then afterwards, what is he doing afterwards? Like some people take photos on vacations. He's going back and looking at his notes. Again, a lot of conjecture, a lot of sure, you know, me, Robin, leaping way out there on this. But if we're trying to understand what could possibly be the reason why someone has behavior, makes sense, doesn't it?
That's a great question that would have been really lovely to have asked in that documentary. Who planned the vacations?
Yeah.
How did that go down? Was there a lot of planning involved? Who did it? Who paid for it? Who was going, hey, just like you said, because then his family is looking at him like, oh, he's the martyr. He's sacrificing his time. He wants us to go have fun, even though he can't because his work is so taxing. And they come back going, thank you for that vacation, Dad. I wish you could have come. My God, it would have been great if you were here. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. It's work. Gotta.
My guess is the hero planned the vacation.
Yep.
That's why, and you know, people use words with a lot of meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Her using the word hero says it all. He's a hero to her because in her mind, what do heroes do? Heroes sacrifice themselves for us, for others. And so in her mind, what behavior fits that? All these things that I just described is the behaviors of a hero.
He convinced her that he was the hero all those years over and over and over. It is a weird way to describe your significant other, especially 20 some years after he rescued her or whatever. It being a hero is a weird one. I mean, it's like I admire them. I love them. I trust them. They are a great human being.
Just what you need for someone to cover your tracks, though.
If you are the hero, that's a new level. That's like you don't question the hero. And that seems to be kind of the home that they lived in. They didn't question what he was doing down there. They just, you know, he's as good of a guy.
That's the hero's lair. That's where the hero goes to his secret bat cave.
Yeah. Except he's looking
kidding.
At...
I mean, just think about it. I mean, you know, it's anytime people try to make these things overcomplicated, you're really working too hard at it. This guy is a simple animal. This simple animal had his den, you know, as a predator wolf. He had his sheep around him protecting him. And to them, he's the hero.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.